This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. Episode number 5.
Here we are, live. When that countdown starts on the back end, and then it starts flashing at you, there's always this moment of, is everything gonna work okay? Welcome, replay viewers. Welcome, live viewers. This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm a life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with soul medicine for the modern, well, not for the modern, for the everyday extraordinary woman and man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. In this show, we cover topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and spiritually and energetics. So I see some of my peoples are joining today. And the first thing I want to do is connect with you. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So Elise is here. Eric is here. Christy is here. Hi. Yes. Live is about connecting with you guys. Hi, Christine. Welcome. I'm so glad you guys are here. And so I'm going to start by slowing down today. I'm going to start by taking a breath. I'm going to start by getting out of my head and back into my body. Because of course, when you plan to do a show on resistance, guess what shows up? Some resistance. It just makes me giggle. Because if it doesn't make me giggle, it's gonna make me cry a little bit. So welcome, Christine, welcome, Katie. I'm so glad you are here. I'm breathing because what I don't want you to know about me everything. What I don't want you to know about me is I really do have these high standards, and I really do have this way that I want it to be, and I want to control it, and the way I want to feel, and the way I want my flow to happen, and the things I want to do and create. And the reality is that, you guys, when we're doing important stuff, resistance shows up, and it shows up in so many different ways. And so wouldn't it be nice if I were actually sharing this episode and having this conversation from this place of, oh, I've been through that. But the fact is, even today, I'm in it. So as usual, you're going to get the real life, the real me. So what we're going to talk about today is resistance. And I call it going dirty. That's the end result, right? The end result, we're going to play with that. We're going to play with the idea of doing dirty work. But before there, we have to get to the sacred space of this thing called resistance. Good morning. One of the ways resistance is showing up for me is my sidekick, Clemo, who's standing outside the door of my office whining at this moment. So I just laugh, you guys. I just laugh. I am my best student sometimes. Okay, so a lot of times we have this never-ending to-do list. We have important projects that stagnate. We have the guilt and the obligation that weighs us down when we have these to-dos that we keep avoiding, or when we have a knowing in our head and in our heart, but somehow we do nothing about it. Then we get the discouragement when we don't see ourselves moving forward in our life and work, and that kind of starts dicking around with the shame. Then when we do, and this is where I am today, when we do show up to do the work, then all of a sudden there's all these damn complications. It's like it's one complication after another, after another, after another. And resistance can show up in so many obvious ways, but also the really subtle ways. And it's funny because as I'm talking about this resistance, I just feel this nauseousness in my gut, in my belly. Resistance can stop us in our tracks. And there's an old version of me that would at times avoid the resistance because it felt better, right? And I actually used some spiritual teachings to not push through. I was waiting for that. And here's the thing, it's not one or the other. We've got to use discernment. So the spiritual practices that I have in the past used to avoid resistance instead of work with it was like this follow your feel good thing, right? So if it didn't feel good, don't do it. Well, I'm going to acknowledge that sometimes that answer is perfect, right? So if it doesn't feel good, we can walk away from the task when we're trying to force it. But we can walk away and then come back and things are better. But other times, we really just need to sit down and do it, because what I found was I was walking away and walking away and walking away and walking away indefinitely, right? And so does anybody else experience this crap? And I know that you do, but like, holy resistance, how does it show up in your life? So I'm curious, what are some of the ways that resistance shows up in your life or in your work? And this is not just work, you guys, this is life too, right? Resistance to having important conversations in our relationships, resistance to making changes. Give me one way that resistance shows up in your life. And while I wait for your answers, I'm gonna take a sip of water. All right, so number one for me is avoiding, all right? Avoiding. Stephen Pressfield in The War of Art, he describes resistance as any act that rejects immediate gratification in favor of long-term growth, health, or integrity. Any act that rejects immediate gratification in favor of long-term growth, health, or integrity. Which I think is hilarious, because I actually have rejected that book for years. So some of the ways you guys are saying that that resistance shows up: low energy and heaviness. That's a good one. Sleepiness for me, procrastination, avoiding difficult conversations. When I finally go to call somebody I've been in resistance with, there's no answer. I noticed that my resistance is showing up today in impatience and agitation. And it's embarrassing for me to admit, like, I want to come to the show and give you guys the best energy. And I want to like make myself be a certain way. And the reality is the resistance, both physical, emotional, and external, that has showed up today has me really rattled. And so I'm going to go forward, even though I'm rattled. Resistance to make healthy eating choices, procrastination on work tasks because my to-do list is just too big, right? You guys, this can be really, really overwhelming, staying busy with all the other stuff. Holy cow. So I think it's funny, you know, there's that book, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, and I remember somebody introducing to me, and all these people have loved this book, and I was like, I don't want to read that book. And even not wanting to look at that book and the truth of that book is a form of resistance, right? Because the first thing we want to do is we want to ignore it. We want to reject it. We want to reject that this is not possible, right? Denial, right? So the thing is about resistance And how this whole show topic came about. I was speaking with a longtime client the other day. I resist that book, so I'm not alone in resisting that book. I was talking with a client the other day, and it's so fun because it's like in my brain, I want to bring the energy I had with this client on the phone with you. And we were talking about what would be most effective for her call. This was actually a reboot client, so I haven't worked with her in a while, and we were doing a little reboot client, and what would be most that's weird. Are we still live? Sorry, technical thing. That's so weird. Like it shows that it stopped. Okay. See, more resistance. Like, and this is the other thing I really do believe. It's like when we have resistance inside, that's what creates the energetic resistance on the outside. Right? So when I'm in resistance, my energy screws up the technology. My energy fucks with my dogs. My energy, and then this is how the process works, right? Like, well, just quit, just stop, just do it another day. And so I'm here. It only took 5 shows for me to bring my totally human crappy self, which I'm going to determine is awesome, to let you guys see the discombobulation. Because here's the thing I know. Right. The discombobulation, the static, the overwhelm, the resistance is so normal. It's so human. So what do we do with it? Right? If we're conscious and we know that we don't want to keep avoiding it, because that hasn't really served us in the past either, then what do we do to begin sorting through it? And so today I'm going to share with you what I do know. And then I'll get to more of the story about my client. I promise this will end fun. This is the good news. The good news is that today's episode, and that's actually one of the steps, right, is allow it to end in fun, okay? So I'm going to allow some of the heaviness right now, because the reality is nobody goes, oh, gee, this is delicious. I'm in resistance. Like, it takes a lot to get here and feel the yay of resistance, right? Because when we hit it, it's thick and overwhelming. So here's the first thing. I'm gonna wiggle it out, shake my body a little bit. So that's one. Actually, this is not even in my show notes, but one of the first things you can do, someone said it earlier, is like, just move your body. Moving your body can shake your state. And so just wiggling it out, shaking my hands, kind of shaking off some of my distractions that are going on in the other room. And the first thing that we've got to do is we got to identify what we're avoiding, right? I'm real big right now on telling the truth. We lie to ourselves in so many ways, you guys. And so I'm really big on telling ourselves the truth, and not from this judgy, mean, bitchy place, but just noticing like, oh, I've been avoiding the truth. And so number one is let's use my client as an example. My client said to me the other day on the phone, and she said, the most important thing I can do for my life and my work and my business right now is finish my website. Now, a lot of times actually doing my website when I work with clients, when they tell me that they need to do their website, that's actually an avoidance of the real work of creating clients. And this particular client, she's actually been very good at connecting and being with people. And she's at a place in her business. She actually was willing to start her business without her website. And so for her, my intuition and from what I know about her told me that this was actually the time about a year after she started to go ahead and build her website. And a lot of times people want to build the website and they want to get the cards and they want to do all these other things to avoid doing the real work of creating clients. And so I was talking with her. So the website and laundry. Laundry was the other thing. And we had had a moment many years ago where I asked her just to sit in the pile of laundry, like just sit in the laundry that she resisted. And so it was interesting. We talked about like, what is it about the website that, what keeps you from doing it? And so let me pause there on her story. But here's the thing. If you think about, if you can identify what is it that you're resisting, is the first thing. And then the second thing is tell yourself the truth lovingly, with compassion, but with clear truth about why you are resisting it. Why are you avoiding it? So usually underneath resistance are all these deep fears and questions of the unknown that are terrorizing us. What if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if it sucks? What if I get rejected? What if I actually succeed in all the heaviness and responsibility that comes with that? Maybe I'm really a fraud and crazy and I shouldn't be doing this anyways, right? Like our lizard brain starts going off. Our lizard brain wants to avoid discomfort. It wants to avoid pain. And so our job as people who are willing to do both the inner work and outer work to have a better life and better work is to take a look at not only what are we resisting it, but what is going on underneath the resistance. What is it that I'm really scared of? And the first thing we can do is we can own our truth. And most of us, including myself, we go around staying this mediocre distance away from our truth because our truth, our truth pushes us forward. Our truth pushes us into our soul's purpose. And owning our truth, owning our fears, and owning our perceived fragility opens up us up to experience our true power. There's that Marianne Williamson quote about, and of course I'm going to slaughter it, but it's not our fear that we're inadequate, right? It's our fear that we're very powerful. And so really beginning to get into a deeper place and to look at that. I realized one time around my business that I wasn't afraid that I would fail. I was afraid that I would actually succeed. And if I succeeded, then maybe I would fail at, you know, that I couldn't trust myself to make that much money. So we've got to spend some time looking at what is it that we're really afraid of, because until we sit face to face with that truth, anything we do is just a band-aid and the resistance is going to keep showing up. Then another layer underneath the fear in resistance, and this is the one that is most tender and actually difficult for people to tap into, is desire. And one of the things, I am no expert on desire. I have a friend, Monica Day, who is, and I learned so much from her about how we subconsciously shut out our desires because of all this thinking inside that we're not worthy of it, or we can't handle it, or we protect ourselves because we think, even though I have that desire, but I'll never get it. We stop wanting for a million different reasons. So underneath that resistance is the desire and the ultimate pain that our human self tries to avoid is not realizing our desires. And it's interesting because as I planned this show, this part of the conversation was never part of what the planning that was going on in my mind and on my paper. It was a whole different story. And so I noticed today, here, right now, that even in this, my brain wants to keep the story safe. It wants to keep it technical and logical, and it wants to keep it out of the zone of the heart. It wants to keep it in the lower energies. And we really can't solve the problems that are created in the lower energies with lower energies. We have to move to higher energies. And one of the things about higher energies is truth telling. Truth telling comes from your throat chakra. And so when we can begin to, and then also vision, right? Also seeing intuitively and seeing with the mind's eye and seeing with the divine, when we can see with the divine, okay, let me put it in order. So we can open our hearts. And we talked about that a lot in the second issue. Open our hearts, release control. Then we can begin to express ourselves and speak our truth. Then we can intuit and absorb spiritually. We can see the truth. And so if we're working in these higher consciousness ways to work with resistance, then we can heal it. Then we can move forward. Then we can give ourselves the gift of that which we really want. Here's what my brain does. And I'm sharing for the purpose, because we're talking about resistance. My lizard brain is screaming, Allison, you're out of flow, you're sucking, you were like last night while you're drinking wine and you're doing live, you were so much more on. Like there's all these things in my head that go. And I'm sure you have experiences like that too, especially when you move forward with the work, whatever the work is, that important thing. And here's what I know. We only experience resistance when it's really important, you guys. I love it. Christine Summers says, today is St. Blaise Day, blessing of the throats. Thank you. I received that. And then Maria, thank you. Maria put the Marianne Williamson quote up for us. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make the manifest the glory of God that is within us. And here's what we do to ourselves, you guys. We shrink our own light. And a lot of times we blame it on external circumstances, but the reality is we're shrinking our own light. And so the step one is tell yourself the truth. Be brutally honest about the truth. For years, and y'all know I'm walking, and the walking is changing and healing my life. But you want to know what the truth is? The truth wasn't, oh, I've got adrenal fatigue, I have back issues, all these. I kept telling myself these excuses. The adrenal fatigue, I'm too tired, back issues. No, you want to know what the real truth was? The real truth was what I was lazy and sedentary. I'd gotten lazy, that I was a couch potato. That's the honest truth. But until I was willing to admit that the only reason I'm not walking is because I'm being lazy, and not from a place of shame, you guys, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about from a place of ownership. And ownership and shame are two different things. The flow is starting to come back. Ownership and shame are two different things. Shame vibrates near death, but ownership, responsibility, which means we are able to respond. And so when we take responsibility for resistance, then we are able to move it. Then we are able to move it. We never get close enough. I just had this vision, so let me draw this out. Okay, I just had this vision. And those of you on the video show, so those of you on the podcast won't be able to see it, but I'll describe it. So here's this thing, this heart, soul, spirit thing, whatever it is that we've been avoiding, and I'm drawing it in the shape of a heart. I'm drawing it in the shape of a heart. And then I'm putting a wall around it. And so, although those of you that are alive can't see it because I used a poor color. So we have this wall around our heart. We can still see the heart. But there's a difference between staying out here, and I'm drawing a person, a figure outside of the wall. That's a safe distance. So think for a moment, what is it in your life that's actually calling you and beckoning you, and you are avoiding, you are staying at a safe distance, you're staying, you know, an arm's length away, versus jumping right in. Right? Versus just jumping right in. I have, when my nieces and nephew come to my house, it's so cute because my niece will walk around the edge. She'll look at the pool. She'll look at the pool with like desire, but I don't know if I should go in. And she's kind of shy and timid. I don't know if I should go in. And my little nephew Noah comes and he's like, "Aunt Sissy, I want to get in the pool." And next thing you know, he's stripping down and he runs and he jumps in. And he just owns. This is what I love about this little boy. He owns his desire to jump in the pool. He doesn't care if it's 18 degrees outside or if I've just treated the pool or something. Like, and I want to be like Noah in the sense, in everything, especially if it's drawing, you know, my desires are calling me, I want to run and jump in. But the fact is that a lot of times we keep this safe distance because of all those questions. Okay, so the first one is ownership. Identify the work you're doing that you're avoiding doing, and then tell yourself the truth, what's underneath why you're avoiding it. Tell yourself the truth, quit lying. Then the second thing, so once we've got that established, like, whoa, I can see. The next thing, and this is where I went with my client. I was like, okay, let's assume, tell me about your life once the website is done. Tell me about your life and work. And she started, so when she was talking about, oh, I just don't want to get in the technology. I'm just not good at it. It's hard for me to, to get it done. I'm not, you know, I try to get help, and like she's got 1,000 excuses and 1,000 reasons. And she's wanting me to believe every single one of them. But my job when I work with my clients is not to believe their excuses. It's not to believe their reasons. It's to help them see their power. And so what we did is I said, okay, let's assume that it's done for a moment. What's on the other side of it? And she was like, oh my gosh, well, not only would I be doing this great work, but if somebody who's just watching and not interacting wants to go to my website, they'll get an authentic feel about who I am and what I offer, because I know a lot of people do their research. And as she began to talk about it, her energy went up and up and up. And here's where we get stuck, you guys. We get focused on the shitty side of the hill. Okay. And we forget to focus on what's on the other side. We forget to focus on what's on the other side. So our job is to find the feel good on the other side of what I call the dirty work. And I want to call it the dirty work for a reason. This was the original title of the show about dirty work. And then I realized dirty work was just a way for me to avoid talking about resistance, which was ironic. So the dirty work. Going dirty. Yeah, going dirty. So Going Dirty is a song my husband made up for me about 7 years ago when I used to take baths at night or showers at night, and I would wake up in the morning and I would get dressed and go to work. And he was so confused by that. Why I wouldn't take a shower in the morning? Well, have you seen my crazy hair? You don't take a shower in that in the morning. And so he would call, he's like, oh, so you're going to work dirty. And so every morning when I would get up and start to get dressed without taking a shower, he would call me Going Dirty. And for some reason, when I was talking to my client the other day, that song, Going Dirty, came in and I started thinking about dirty work. And then I started thinking about, so same thing with my husband. One of the things that my husband always says in his own philosophical ramblings and stuff, is like, what would people do if the garbage men quit picking up the trash? And I want you to imagine for a moment your own home. If for 1 month, so where I live, the trash man comes and picks up. Lauren, that's a good question. I'm going to come back to that. When the trash man, they come every single week. And so every single week, actually, my husband takes out the trash and the recycle. And imagine for a moment that if you went 1 week without taking out your trash or your recycle, and then you went 2 weeks without taking out your trash or your recycle, and then three, and then four. Imagine what would happen if you didn't take out the trash. And then I started thinking about that guy, Mike Rowe, and he has the show Dirty Jobs, right? And I can't even watch Dirty Jobs because some of it is so nasty that it literally makes me vomit. But I started thinking about Mike Rowe, and I'm talking to my client. I'm like, there's all these dirty jobs, and somebody's got to do these dirty jobs so that we can enjoy the benefits of it. So, for example, whether the trash man picks it up or my husband takes it out, the benefit is having a clean home, not having stinky, piley trash pile up everywhere, right? And so nobody wakes up and says, you know what, today I'm so excited, it's take out the trash day. We think about creating clean space, right? Clearing the clutter and the waste out of our homes. And so there are so many things that you do in your life. You brush your teeth, not because it's the most pleasurable feeling in the world, but you brush your teeth because the feeling and the knowledge and the benefit of having clean teeth, right? Same thing with washing our bodies. So there's these things that we do for the outcome. And y'all know I'm a big believer in doing some things for the process. I love painting and creating art, not for the outcome. But this is where, especially those of us that are creative and we like to create over and over, and that we do get off on the process. So for, I don't know about y'all, but some of us, we actually like the process of creating and aren't as attached to the outcome, right? And sometimes we need the outcome, right? So it's up to you to use discernment. But we've got to notice the deeper fears underneath and begin to acknowledge desires. And then why are we doing this, right? So like, why was she doing the website? I had another client, this was so fun. We just started a group mastermind, a business group mastermind. And we've had two calls, and last night in the Facebook group, she was like, after 18 months, I finally started this course and I put this course up. And I was just laughing. I was like, oh, wow, that only took 2 weeks, right? It took her 18 months. But what was it that, you know, she spent 17 and a half of those months thinking about doing it, but not doing it. And then all of a sudden, and she said for her, you know, it was the accountability. It was the fact that she finally decided and committed amongst us that she would get it done, right? So Lauren Holder asked a great question. What about when I can't see what the wonderful looks like on the other side? Lauren, can you help me with an example? My impulse response is to go within and check with spirit, because I can see where there could be situations where we're having to trust an inner prompting, right? I can see where we're trusting an inner prompting. And I can see on the other side where we're believing a story of obligation that we don't have. So this is a whole nother conversation, but sometimes we're saying yes to things that we don't really need to do. We're saying yes to things because of tribe consciousness, because we feel like we should do. And I realize, you guys, that this stuff gets complex, but this is why we don't come to resolution in the human realm. right? Because if it's human realm, it's only linear, it's only logic. And we have to do everything a certain way. And the reality is, I really do believe in the concept of both and. In each situation, discernment, especially from within, is you will have a better life and better work if you can bring in that intuitive and spiritual discernment and then add your logic, your emotions, etc. All right, so that's why the situation matters. The other time, and then it's so funny, it's so true. Like, who am I to such complex questions? God. So when you can't see the other side, so for example, I just spoke with a friend today that was trying an experiment in her business. Okay, so she didn't know what the other side would be, but she also knew that it was totally an experiment. And I have a feeling that when we have that knowing, when we really begin to examine it. So this is what Lauren says. This is perfect. So Lauren is at the final stages of, she has finished her book and it's going through the final publishing process. The book, resistance is fear of criticism, rejection. The other side could be having my life even more public. I'm doing the dirty work anyway, and the outcome is still more resistance. Of course it is, Lauren. So I don't know if were you here at the beginning, Lauren, when we talked about this. Underneath the truth telling, this was step one. Identify the work that you avoid doing. Tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth, right? Because this is the first thing that happens. It's like, oh my God, what if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if I get rejected, etc.? Or what if I can't handle the success? So this is why I ask you to go within, right? And I love this. I love this. So Lauren, why did you write the book? What's the head answer, but what's the heart answer of why you wrote the book? I love this real life example. Why did you write the book? Did you write the book to make millions? Did you write the book to get lots more audience? Or did you write the book because there was a seed in you that could not be told no? I mean, frankly, you guys, why would anybody write a book? Because the word wants to be written. I pulled cards the other day publicly on Facebook Live, and we pulled the card, the word wants to be written. So this is what I would argue, Lauren, that writing the book is not coming from an egoic place for you. And most of the people in my tribe are these heart-centered, relationship, impact, spirit, heart, and then head. They're really smart people, but they're not leading with machinery, systems, and head work. So Lauren says the reason she wrote the book is to make an impact. Your soul, that book had to be written. It wasn't done from a logical place. And the desire to make an impact, comes from the inside, you guys. This is such a good example. I love that phrase. The word wants to be written, right? And the only thing that stops the word from being written, the art from being made, the conversation from being had, is our ego and our fear. Lauren says, people told me my story changed their life. How could I not write it? But this is the thing. Lauren, this is what's so beautiful, is the fact is there are many people have been told their story changes their life, and nobody has that thing that comes up from inside of them says, I must climb this mountain. And any of you who have written and published a book, it's a mountain. This is no English paper. It's a mountain. And here you are near the very top and you can't see on the other side. So I get it. So this is why this is the other thing. When you focus on the why, and maybe I wrote that, what's on the other side. Sometimes we don't know the other side. So actually probably a better language would be, remember the why. Remember the why. You're right. You know what? Actually, we don't know what the other side could be. But the why is this internal seed that can't not be created. I remember my shaman friend Raphael, I did this coaching circle one time with these women, and I remember him using the phrase, it's that thing that they can't not do. That's where the resistance shows up. That without the fear, of course we do it, but it's the, and the more our soul wants to put something out into the world or to have the conversation or to be this, the more our soul, our spirit wants it, the more our human selves will resist it, right? So not what's the feel good on the other side, but what's the feel good in the why, right? And those of any of you who've had a baby know the joy and pain of labor and delivery. It's called labor. And on the other side is delivery. And people have been doing it for years. Okay, so here's where we move into next. And I realize, you guys, this is an important conversation to have. My team was telling me when I told them I was going to be talking about resistance, they were like, that's so funny, we were talking about that last night. Like, what if resistance is the way, right? And a lot of times, that's the whole thing, is that our lower vibing self hears the resistance and runs, right? But it's our job to check in with a higher aligned self and get guidance. No, Allison, you must do this, right? Then once we have those recognitions, the other thing I like to do, and I learned this from art, I learned this from painting, is that it's the song, Going Dirty. Yeah. So I'm talking to my girlfriend and I was like, so quit thinking of it as, not my girlfriend, but my past client. Quit thinking of it as, oh, I have this website to create. It's so horrible and miserable. Well, anytime we come at anything with that kind of attitude, it's going to be miserable. And so it's time to go into, I think it was the seven dwarves that were like, whistle while you work. So the idea is to get playful, get creative. How can we start thinking about the work that feels miserable but leads to something magical? How can we start thinking about it in a different way? And so I was like, well, what if you played with the idea that this is the dirty work of business, right? And get flirty with it. Instead of this is the miserable work of business, or, oh, I don't want to do it. Like, what if you were like, well, this is the dirty work. What are you doing today? I'm doing the dirty work of my business. Instead of, oh, I'm in my financial numbers, I'm in logic, I'm, you know, because that energy magnifies itself. And so if we can find a playful and creative way to approach the dirty work, that's why I'm calling it the dirty work, because dirty work sounds so much more appealing to do the dirty work than it sounds to do this miserable shit. So change the way you talk to yourself about moving through the resistance. Change the way you talk to yourself about doing your laundry or doing your dishes. And it goes back to what we talked about on the very first episode. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change, right? And so what if we could get to this place where it's like, oh, I notice resistance showing up. There's some juice underneath that, right? And can you imagine the progress that we can make, the true inner success and joy that we can begin to create as when we notice that resistance comes up, ooh, I feel something around that, right? I feel the resistance. And what if we heard the call of resistance instead of bought the lie that we should stay away? But the thing is, most of us don't spend time going deeper into the resistance. We're afraid to dance with it. We're afraid to play with it. We're afraid to even consider that it could be the juiciest thing there. Or we try to solve it with our masculine energy brain, right? We try to fix a problem. But what if we came at it in a more feminine, playful way? What if we came with it to it with compassion and curiosity? Compassion and curiosity. How could you get curious about your resistance? And it was so fun because I talked to that client the next day and I was like, so how did yesterday go? And she goes, I did a whole day of dirty work. And she was so proud. And instead of bitching and moaning that she spent a day behind her website, she was like, I spent a whole day doing dirty work. So make a song about it. I mean, that's, they're going dirty. Yeah, going dirty. And it's like, what can we do to change our state? We may not be able to change the activity, but we can change our state around the activity. So what's coming up for you guys? Let me know what you think. Does it sound possible? Does it sound possible to begin to listen to the inner whisper instead of the resistance? Right, again, we have to tune the channel. We have to tune the channel. We can either, as my friend Isabel said the other day on a live that we did on my main page, Isabel said, you can either listen to the mental station of Jerry Springer, right? Or you can listen to a higher frequency channel. Which channel do you want to listen to? And most of us are listening to the Jerry Springer version when we're looking at resistance. Most of us are listening there. We're not changing the channel to the stations of curiosity, compassion, higher vibrating, divine. And then the other thing is asking for help. Right? Doing some art around those feelings of resistance. I've been playing with my new website all morning. That song is in my head. Beautiful. Thank y'all for responding. It is a thick topic. And I certainly don't necessarily feel completely ridiculously proud of the flow of this show. But you know what? By God, I was willing to get in and get dirty. One layer at a time, I'm willing to get in and get dirty. I'm willing to have the conversation. I'm willing to explore. What I really wanted to do was call in sick. Go play, go have a drink, buffer the pain, buffer the pain. Totally possible, telling myself the truth. And you guys, you have heard it, the truth will slap you in the face, but it will set you free. And this has been a season for me of telling myself the damn truth. Telling myself the truth about my money. Telling myself the truth about my health and the movement of my body, telling myself the truth about my business, telling myself the truth about opening or closing my heart. What is it that we're resisting? And the antidote to that is curiosity and compassion. Compassion and then curiosity. And telling the truth. And when I tell myself the truth, I don't lie to any of you either. And I don't know about you. Do you want to argue? Do you want to argue to keep your excuses? And some people do. Yes, whatever you resist persists. It's so true. This is just the way it works, right? If you are avoiding the resistance and you even change geography, right? So we talked about this last night. Someone said, well, what if my truth is I want to leave my job? Do I go in tomorrow? And I was like, no. I don't. You don't leave the job tomorrow because we have to integrate it in here first, right? So we have to integrate it in here. And because when you leave something to avoid the resistance, to avoid doing the deep inner work, to avoid looking at your fears, to avoid telling yourself the truth, and to avoid healing that, the situation just recreates itself in another pair of jeans, right? It's a different outfit, but it's the same energy. And a lot of times people say, well, why do I keep having this pattern of XYZ in my life? Well, because you've got to dive in. You've got to jump in and get dirty. You've got to get emotionally dirty, physically dirty. And I don't mean dirty in a negative sense, but it's messy. And I had a client one time, Robin Sino, many, many years ago, we were on a coaching call and we came up with this phrase, the mess is the masterpiece. And yet we're so afraid to get into the mess. We're so afraid to be messy. I'm afraid to be messy. I'm afraid to be messy with my work. I'm afraid to do this show and let it be messy. But if I let that stop me, the show will never happen. And I don't know, like Lauren, I don't know what's on the other end of the show. The show could be a total flop. But I know right now the word wants to be written. The show wants to be showed. And I can either run from it, and as Elise Rich says, it will follow you wherever you go. That shit will haunt you, you guys. And I don't know about you, but I want to live clean. And how we live clean is we get in there with the dirt. Going dirty. Yeah, going dirty. So what is the dirty work? Let's begin to wrap it up. And I want you to think about, what is the dirty work you've been avoiding? That's number one. What is the dirty work you've been avoiding? And then tell yourself the loving but firm-ass truth about why you've been avoiding it. I realize I am terrified of success. I make up stories that rich people are assholes, that I can't trust myself with the financial success, and that I'll be even more alienated than I am right now. Those are some of my deepest fears. Or that I'll be left. That's the biggie, that I'll get left by those who love me. But the reality is, I wake up every day with the burning desire to create and connect. Every single day. So the word wants to be written. I'm releasing myself from the attachment, but I'm paying attention. And so instead of letting it be perfect, I've got to keep creating. The magic is in the mess. The magic is in the mess. So identify the work that you're what is the dirty work you've been avoiding? Tell yourself the truth of the deep fears and questions of the unknown. Stop letting them terrorize you. You get to decide if your thinking terrorizes you and freezes you, or you get to decide if you're going to be creative, spontaneous, brave, courageous. You get to decide. And then begin to notice the why. Because if the why isn't, this is the other thing. Give yourself permission to back out of dirty work that doesn't have a firm, soulful why behind it. Okay? Like if the why doesn't matter to you, you don't have to go down that path. If the word doesn't give a shit about being written, don't write a book because you should. Don't write a book because everybody's writing a book. Don't create a business XYZ way. Don't get married because you should. Don't should on yourself. Either it wants to be done from the inside out or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, release yourself from the obligation and shame, because that's another whole story, is obligation creates debt. And so many of us are saying yes to things that don't matter to us, but we're subtly and quietly saying no to the things that really do. Right? And then finally, find a playful way. What's the most fun I can have solving this problem? What's the most fun I can have clearing the resistance? What's the most fun I can have learning? Can I get messy and enjoy it anyways? Can I be like the little kid Noah that runs and jumps in the pool, even though there's 1,000? He did this at Christmas. He didn't need to be jumping in the pool. It was freezing. But it's what he wanted. And he went after what he wanted, and he dealt with the consequences later. All of his clothes were wet. We had to put him in the dryer. But it's okay. He was willing to get messy to move towards his desires. And that's what I want for all of us. I want us to really, better life and better work is about realizing your desires, not the desires of the outside world, but the desires inside of you that want to be written. What wants to be written? Thank you guys so much for showing up. You can sign up at allisoncrow.com/better if you want to get a copy of this week and last week's show notes. Also, on Monday, holy cow, Monday, the podcast is dropping and I'm going to be sharing that information, but it would be super helpful to me if you guys would check out the podcast and leave reviews and give us some stars or just notice it. Notice it. And then also I want to let you know about Camp Starheart. Camp Starheart is impossible to explain, but it is a place where we go into and have these deep conversations, and not just from the teacher perspective. This is the thing. All the people that come and speak are magical and brilliant and wise and smart and have so much knowledge. And all the participants that come have the same. And so it's more of a weekend conversation. And we have fun and we move our bodies and we learn and sometimes we cry, we feast, we drink. It's truly an experience that it's hard to put words to, but you can find out more about Camp Starheart at www.campstarheart.com. It's April 19th through 22nd in Austin, Texas, and I have 24 tickets left. Deep breath and just thanking you guys for allowing the perfectly imperfect, allowing me to move through resistance with you. And I want to encourage you to go out there and tell yourself the truth. Get messy, get a little dirty, and let me know how your dirty work goes. Bye, you guys. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrow.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.